Pablo was an orphan. Both his parents had died, and now poor Pablo lived in a little house with una bruja. La bruja? Oh, yes. La bruja means a witch. And oh, how La bruja made Pablo work. There she sat all day long, sunning herself, out in her garden, surrounded by her beautiful hibiscus flowers, her beautiful gladiolas, and all of her evil herbs and spices. And while she sat and sang and drank her café con leche and dreamed up new evil curses and spells, why, Pablo worked, of course. Every bit of work in that house was done by none other than Pablo. And if La Bruja noticed the least bit of dust on her coffee table, or if one of her aprons wasn't perfectly ironed to suit her, Pablo knew he'd be sleeping outside with the chickens that night. But why would La Bruja need her aprons ironed if she never did anything? Ah, but La Bruja did do the cooking. Of course she did. And that's why poor Pablito hardly ever got anything at all to eat.
Pablito! Pablito! Come see what I have for you!
Every night it was the same. After smelling wonderful aromas from the kitchen all afternoon long, Pablo, who had been banished to his tiny room, would be called into the kitchen by La Bruja. He would find her standing by the stove, holding out one of his favorite foods.
Empanadas, Pablito! Empanadas! Don't you want some?
Si, I do.
And Pablo would reach for the empanadas. But La Bruja would quickly pull them away from him. A terrible scowl would come over her face. Her eyes would start to flash. Her ears would turn bright purple. Smoke would come out of her nostrils. And she'd begin to quiver and shake. Then the whole little cabin would start to quiver and shake. And La Bruja would say the same words she said every night at supper time.
What's my name? What's my name? If you can guess my name, I will give you all the empanadas you could ever eat in a lifetime.
And of course, Pablo would try very hard to guess her name. Rosa, Flora, Esmeralda, Emilia. And then La Bruja would begin to hop, first on one foot, then on the other. A huge grin spread across her whole face, and she would chant,
What's my name? What's my name? Come on, Pablo, play the game.
And Pablo, still hungry for empanadas, would cry out eagerly, Zenaida? Migdalia? Diana? But poor Pablo could never guess right, and every night he would be sent back to his room, where somehow, magically, he would find his same small supper always there. A few beans with no spice. A little rice with no flavor. Most days, that was Pablo's only meal, except for a glass of water and a crust of bread in the morning. One day, something different happened. While La Bruja was out for her morning walk, Pablo discovered a pastel on the kitchen counter. Now, this was amazing because La Bruja was always so careful to lock every bit of food up in the cupboards. And, of course, she always carried the key on her person. But there it was, a pastel on the kitchen counter. Pablo picked it up and he stared at it. The paper it had been boiled in was still around it. He cut the string with a little knife, opened up the paper, and unfolded the plantain leaves. Now there was a pastel. Pablo had smelled the spicy meat stuffing as La Bruja had cooked it the night before. He knew exactly how good it would taste, although he had not eaten a pastel since he was a little boy. Pablo also knew he would be terribly punished, but suddenly he didn't care. He dashed out of the house to make his way down to the river to eat his incredible treat. Just out in the yard, the rooster greeted him.
"Pablo, Pablo, is that a pastel you have in your hand? Oh, Pablito, give me a little piece, and I will tell you La Bruja's name."
"What? Do you know her name?"
"Oh, yes, Pablo, of course I do."
Well, it was worth a try. Pablo looked at the beautiful pastel. He hated to break into it before he got to the river. But if the rooster really knew?
He broke off a piece and threw it to the rooster. The rooster gobbled it up faster than you can imagine and flew off out of the yard.
"Hey, Mr. Rooster, what's her name? What's her name?"
"Kikiriki! Kikiriki!"
The rooster flew away, and Pablo knew that Kikiriki was not La Bruja's name. But Pablo still had most of his pastel, and he still was happy. As he ran down the pathway to the river, an old owl flew down from a tree and stopped him in his tracks.
"Silly Pablo, silly Pablo, Mr. Rooster is not wise. Now who, is supposed to be the wisest of all the birds and animals?"
"Oh, well, it's you, Mrs. Owl. You are known for your wisdom."
"Oh, yes. And for half of your pastel, I will tell you La Bruja's name."
"Half of the pastel? But, Mrs. Owl, if you've known La Bruja's name all this time, why didn't you ever tell me before?"
Mrs. Owl hopped up on a branch of a tree right in front of Pablo's face so she could look him in the eye.
"Pablo, you never asked me."
Since that was true, and since Pablo knew that owls really are wise, he reluctantly broke the pastel in two and gave it to Mrs. Owl. She ate it right out of his hand, taking her time, savoring every bite. And then she flew up into the tree's highest branches.
"Hoo, hoo, hoo! What's her name?" "Hoo, hoo, hoo!"
And Mrs. Owl flew off into the forest. Pablo shook his head with disgust and ran the rest of the way to the river. He sat himself down, turned what was left of the pastel over and over in his hand, sniffed at the open end, peering in at all the mashed plantains and the meat and spices, and he opened his mouth for his first delectable bite.
"Cookie! Cookie! Cookie!"
Pablo heard the little tree frog before he saw it.
"Cookie! Cookie! I know La Bruja's name."
Now Pablo saw El Cookie coming out of the river. He held the pastel behind his back, and he shut his mouth because he realized it was still open and flies might get in.
"Okay, what is her name?" he said to the frog.
"A piece, a piece, a piece of the pastel."
And for some reason, Pablo decided to break off a tiny piece of the pastel, and he gave it to El Coquille. Why did he do it? Why did Pablo try one more time when Mr. Rooster and Mrs. Owl had both lied to him? I don't know, but he did. The tiny frog came up to the shore and he nibbled at the pastel. Then he looked at Pablo.
"Her name?"
Yes, said Pablo, and he leaned down towards the frog.
Her name is La Cocola Chiola.
Pablo dropped what was left of the pastel in front of El Coqui. He scrambled to his feet, and he dashed off to La Bruja's house.
She had just come back, and she was looking for him.
Mend the fence, fix the coffee pot, fetch the eggs. Good for nothing, where have you been?
And so Pablo worked until supper time, when he was finally called into the kitchen.
Pablito, I made guaninas. See, with cornmeal, with plantains. Don't you want some?
Pablo walked into the kitchen and smelled the delicious cornmeal dumplings. He didn't even care about them. He had much more important things on his mind. But he knew he had to play the game.
See, I do.
And he reached for the guanimas La Bruja held out to him.
But of course, La Bruja quickly pulled it away. The terrible scowl came over her face. Her eyes started to flash. Her ears turned bright purple. Smoke came out of her nostrils.
And she began to quiver and shake.
Then the whole little cabin began to quiver and shake as La Bruja screeched,
What's my name? What's my name? Come on, Pablo, play the game.
And Pablo pretended to think hard. Juanita? Maria? Alicia? La Bruja had a huge grin on her face, and she was hopping, first on one foot, then on the other. She was just about to order Pablo back to his room.
Could it be La Cocola Chiola? Ah!
La Bruja dropped the guanimas. She let out a terrible shriek. She began twirling around faster and faster and faster, all the while shrieking and screeching. Where the one guanimas had fallen on the floor, 10 more cornmeal dumplings suddenly appeared. Pablo kept whispering her name. La Cocola Chiola, La Cocola Chiola, La Cocola Chiola. The locked doors to the cupboards flew open, and food which La Bruja had been hiding in there began tumbling out. Bananas, plantains, mangoes, sweet potatoes, onions, chili peppers, garlics, bread, beans, coffee, spices. The door to the pantry flew open, and out came sacks of flour and cornmeal and rice, bottles of syrups and oils, and La Bruja's jars and bottles of evil herbs and potions. And still, Pablo kept whispering her name.
La Cocola Chiola, La Cocola Chiola, La Cocola Chiola.
The icebox flew open, and whole chickens and stews and puddings and arroz con dulce and flan and every kind of ice cream you can imagine all fell out onto the floor at Pablo's feet.
And then Pablo looked back at La Bruja.
She was a sight to behold. As she twirled and as she hopped, bananas fell out of her ears. Sweet potatoes popped from her eyes. Sausages jumped out of her pockets, and guavas flew out of her mouth.
Pablo stood there staring, and then La Bruja whispered,
Whenever you're hungry, just call out my...
But before she could finish, crack! Pablo heard a crack. He looked up at the ceiling to see that the roof of the house had opened up. Then he saw La Bruja still twirling and screeching, rising up and up and up, higher and higher and higher, until poof, she floated right up and out of the house. Pablo ran out the front door just in time to see her flying through the air. She flew and flew away off to the distant mountains. And Pablo's Bruja was never seen or heard from again.
But Pablo understood the final words La Bruja had spoken. He made himself very comfortable in her house, well, he did have the roof fixed, and everyone in the village agreed that the house belonged to him. Pablo started going to school, which La Bruja had never allowed him to do. He didn't have to go to work until he was well grown up, because he had a place to live, and whenever he was hungry, all Pablo had to do was sit at the kitchen table and whisper softly, "La cucolacciola, la cucolacciola, la cucolacciola." And as soon as he did, all the food in the world, everything delicious you could possibly imagine, would simply appear on his plate, perfectly cooked and ready to eat.